Good evening. Welcome to Advent Holden Evening Prayer, a time for taking a breath, being still, a time to open our hearts and our souls that we might keep watch for Jesus and see him coming not just at Christmas, but this very night. If you'd like to sing along, you can find a PDF of all the music at chicofaithlutheran.org/worshipbook. But we also invite you to just relax. Enjoy this music as it is sung by Dave and Janine Rush.
Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us now, for it is evening,
and the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness. our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars and grace of darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, of the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet. Sing our thanks to God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Creator of the universe. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright.
For your word for the light
of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
Prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your presence surround and fill us so that in union with all creation, we might sing your praise and your love in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
During this season of Advent, I'm going to talk to you about a series called Heaven, Resurrection, and Hope. And it may seem like an odd choice to talk about heaven and resurrection during the season of Advent. And Kyle's coming here. We may have just a brief moment with the camera. Let's see, is the battery dead? The battery just completely dead. Oh, sounds good. Let's use this one. How's that? So, turns out the battery that was plugged into my camera wasn't turned on. My camera needed some resurrection. So the reason I wanted to talk to you about heaven and resurrection in the season of Advent is because our hope for both heaven and resurrection begin with Jesus' incarnation. But I wanted to talk to you about what heaven and resurrection are as described in the Bible, because I've noticed that even in my own thought, I will often conflate the two as the good things that happen after we die. But heaven and resurrection are two distinct things that work together, culminating into a beautiful whole that will happen at Christ's second coming. But let's talk about each one. So I've got some slides here for you. We can go on to the next one. So, first of all, when I talk about heaven, right, for most of us, when we think of heaven, we think of sort of Jesus in the clouds with angels singing. And when we think about resurrection, we think of people rising up out of the ground, out of the graves, and coming back materially with new life. Today, I'm going to focus on what the Bible says about heaven, and next week, we'll talk about resurrection. So when we talk about heaven, we have a lot of popular ideas about what heaven is, and they don't always line up with what the Bible says heaven is. And I'll be comparing what popular conceptions of heaven are versus the biblical description through much of this evening. And to start us off on a light note, we're going to talk about angels. Heaven is described as full of angels. That's part of popular conception as well. So I have here a picture of a cherub. On the left, you'll see sort of the popular conception of a cherub, which is like a fat little baby with little wings flying around. On the right is the biblical description of a cherub in Ezekiel chapter 10. And if you can get a good look at it there, it's essentially a creature with four different heads, head of a lion, head of a bull, head of an eagle, and a head of a human. It's got a bunch of wings. It's also described as like having four interlocking wheels, and for some reason, the wings and all the wheels are just covered in eyeballs. It's like 1,000 eyeballs on this angel. So you can imagine if this thing shows up in your bedroom like it does for Mary, you might be terrified, which is why angels habitually start their first sentence when talking to humans with, "Do not be afraid," because they're scary looking, right? I bring this up just to say, sometimes what we think about heaven isn't exactly what the Bible says about heaven. All right, so that's angels. Let's move on to what we think God does in heaven. The popular conception of heaven is it's where God lives. And to say this is actually a fairly accurate description from the Bible as well, with the exception of saying, in the Bible, heaven is where God is, but undeniably. Because as the Bible describes God, it makes clear that God is not limited to being in heaven. In fact, when first David and then Solomon are pondering building a temple for God, we get this this passage from the Bible that says, "But will God indeed dwell on earth?" In the temple. And says, "Even heaven, even the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built." Right? So here Solomon is acknowledging that God is greater than any temple, but also that God is greater than heaven itself. to say, yes, heaven is where God is undeniably. But that's not the only place where God is. All right, so let's go to the next bit, which is to think about the nature of heaven. And I think in our popular imagination, we tend to think of heaven as this thing that is eternal, that will last forever. It has always been there with God. And yet the Bible is very clear. God is the creator of heaven and earth. And because heaven is something that God created, like everything else in creation, heaven will someday end. And in fact, the New Testament speaks repeatedly about the fact that someday there will be a new heaven along with a new earth. And what that means is the heaven as it exists now will cease to be because heaven itself will need to be transformed. And as we'll see throughout this series, it is Jesus who's going to cause this ultimate transformation of heaven. All right. We can go on then to say, now the big one in popular conception is that heaven is where we go after we die. And let's go to the next slide. Here's the hard part about what I have to say to you today. In the Bible, only two people are described as going to heaven. The first one's Jesus, who ascends to heaven after the resurrection. And the other one is Elijah, who is swept up in a whirlwind and taken alive into heaven. Now, there are some scholars and some traditions who say maybe Enoch in the book of Genesis is described as walking with the Lord, and then he was no more because God took him. And they say, well, maybe God took him directly to heaven, or maybe that's just a euphemism for he died. But it's only two people are explicitly described as going to heaven in the Bible, Jesus and Elijah. Now, don't worry. There's good news for eternal life for everyone after death in Christ. But it's not what we tend to think of it as going up into the clouds with angels and everyone sort of hanging out up in heaven. It's something different. And what we're going to do is talk about that next week. Because this week I want to talk about if heaven isn't meant for the place where we go after we die, what is heaven for? What good is heaven for us? And the truth is, heaven has wonderful good news for us biblically, but it's not what Jesus tells us is going to happen when we die. So most Christians you talk to will say, but when you die, you go to heaven. That's what like Christianity is all about. No, that idea on the next slide really comes from Plato. Five centuries before Jesus in Athens, is talking about this idea of there is a spiritual realm and that is better and distinct from this material realm. And he has this idea that our souls properly belong in the spiritual heavenly realm, and they're stuck down here in the material realm. And so in the centuries that follow him, his students and the people who will study him come up with this idea of our goal is to get our soul into heaven. And Christians will pick up on that idea as Christianity develops until it becomes a central theme, especially in the 18th and 19th centuries. But to say the idea of our souls needing to escape earth and go to heaven, that's a pagan idea. So let's talk about what heaven is from a biblical standpoint. On our next slide, so I talk about heaven is the place where God's presence is undeniable. But the good news for us is that it's not some place that we have to try to get to someday after we die. The good news for us is God's presence in heaven is undeniable, and it's pouring blessings from God down on us right now. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites are wandering through the wilderness, and God sends down manna from heaven The bread of heaven comes down and feeds people here on earth to nourish and sustain them on their journey. When Jesus is baptized, the Bible describes the heavens opening and the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus in the form of a dove, strengthening and empowering Jesus for his ministry. And the same thing happens on the day of Pentecost. It describes the heavens opening and the Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire and like a rushing wind on the disciples, empowering them to become the church. To say what heaven is in the Bible is a storehouse of God's presence and blessings that God is continually opening and pouring out on us on our journey here on earth. You don't have to wait until you die to experience the glory of heaven. God wants to give it to you now. And this is, in fact, the central theme of Jesus' ministry. Here, let's go to the next slide. So we tend to think, oh, heaven's far away and the clouds or something. But Jesus starts his ministry by going around and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And when he sends his disciples out, he tells them to go proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is near. It is at hand. And in his Beatitudes, when Jesus describes folks like those who mourn, they will be comforted in the future tense. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Present tense, right now. You see, Jesus' ministry is about getting us into heaven, yes, but not after we die. Jesus' ministry is about allowing us to experience heaven while we are here on earth. And I want to be clear, this is a Lutheran understanding, right? Certainly the scriptures say all these things, but Martin Luther himself was adamant about this fact also. We can go on to the next slide. So Martin Luther was having a conversation with a guy named Zwingli, who would sort of be one of the forerunners of the Reformed tradition in Switzerland. And they were agreeing on a lot of principles of the Reformation, but they disagreed about what happens when we have communion. Because Luther would say, well, Jesus says, this is my body in communion, so when we have communion, we have Jesus' body. And Zwingli says, no, that doesn't make sense, because the scriptures say that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if Jesus is in heaven, he can't be in our bread. Which Luther gets enraged. He says, what are you talking about, Zwingli? Where is heaven? He says, do you think heaven is just somewhere far up in the clouds? He says, no, as it says, it's where God's right hand is. And he says, where is God's right hand? It's wherever God's power is felt. It's wherever God is at work, which is to say everywhere, because God sustains all of creation. And so for Luther, Christ's body is in heaven, yes, but that is there and there and there and there. It is in the bread, it is in you, it is in the table, it is in your neighbor. It is in all these places, and yet it can't be limited to any one of these places. And yet we don't see God. We don't see heaven all around us. And so for Luther, the sacraments are a promise from God that when we are striving to find Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, which is to say, when we're looking for heaven, we don't have to grope blindly or wonder where it is. Instead, we just have to listen to what Jesus told us, which is to say, when we take bread, and we share it in his name, or we take a cup and we share it in his name, he promises us that we can find him there. In the breaking of the bread, the veil between heaven and earth is torn apart, and we catch a glimpse of heaven. The same is true. So that's the, I have a picture there of the road to Emmaus. And you can see there, the person is breaking the bread, and in the breaking of bread, there is this vision of heaven that's occurring. On the road to Emmaus, two disciples didn't recognize Jesus until he broke bread, and then they saw that it was the Lord. All right, let's go on to the next slide. So Luke, the Pharisees asked Jesus in Luke, so, you know, when's the kingdom of heaven going to show up? When's heaven going to appear? And Jesus says, like, what are you doing waiting for some day? He says, they will not say, look, here it is, or there it is, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. This is the good news that Jesus offers us. That God's presence, that heaven, the place where God is undeniable, is here for you now in Jesus. And that is perhaps the mission of our church, of any church, is to help people experience heaven on earth. There's a famous country song line that goes, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. The good news is that Jesus, in his dying and resurrection, brings heaven to you here on earth so that you don't have to die. Which, of course, brings the question, what happens when we do die? But if you want to find that out, you have to come back next week when we talk about the resurrection. It's so tricky. Now, if you're like, Pastor Ben is saying some very strange things, I don't know about this, I encourage you to read a book from the preeminent New Testament scholar of our time. His name is N.T. Wright. And the book is Surprised by Hope, and goes into much more detail on the subjects that I'm talking about today and that I'll talk about in the next 2 weeks. But I want you to know, heaven is at hand. May we help one another find it. And to help you find it, and to maybe experience a little bit of it here on earth, we have set up during the season of Advent some prayer stations. And we invite you to sign up on our church website. If you go to chicofaithlutheran.org/events, you'll see there's a spot for Advent prayer. And you can come and schedule a time for you and your family to come during the week and pray in various prayer stations here in the sanctuary by yourselves so that you can have some alone time with God. With that, I say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Lifted the humble of all. You have built the
Our God, praise and thank you.